Lord, we praise you this Resurrection Sunday. We are filled with great joy because Jesus died on the cross so that we might be free. The tomb is empty, the stone rolled away. Jesus is alive. Let us share the good news. Jesus is alive. We give thanks and praise you, risen Lord. We celebrate that Jesus is Lord and he is making all things new. Father God, forgive our lapses of faith when we fail to read, meditate on, and understand your word. We're sorry for the days when we neglect to look beyond the cross and wallow in the darkness of despair. Lord of life, we're sorry for not always living in the light and hope of your resurrection, for not noticing you in all aspects of our lives. Forgive us when we fail to live in the power of your cross and empty tomb. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, living in unity, may we live in unity with you. May we live the resurrection life and help others shine on the path of faith. Jesus, no words can express our gratitude today. Thank you for removing the sting of death and for turning a closed door, an ending, into a passageway to resurrection life with you. I pray for all those hearing about what you've done for the first time this Easter Sunday. May they be moved by your passion and compelled to return your love. Father, we thank you not only for giving us life, but also for giving us new life and hope for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. And we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped round Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she returned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? What is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's lovely to be with you all again. It really is nice to see you, and you're all looking so well. And what a wonderful day to be preaching. I've never taken an Easter service before, so this is my first time taking an Easter service. Jesus, speaking to Mary Magdalene, said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all mention Mary Magdalene and her part in the Easter story. And we know from them that Mary was there at the crucifixion. She witnessed all that went on. She knew that Jesus was dead because she had seen him die. We are also told that Mary was the first person to see the risen Christ. She saw, she heard, she spoke, and she touched him. And she knew that this was not a dream, this was not a vision she was having. He was the same man that she had seen only a few days before die on a cross. He was alive. But who exactly was this Mary? We know very little about this lady. She doesn't appear very much in the earlier parts of the Gospel. She's not introduced to us as Mary, the mother of, Mary, the wife of, Mary the sister of, or even Mary the friend of. She is simply described as Mary Magdalene, the woman from Magdala. Nothing special about her. Magdala was a town, I believe, by the Sea of Galilee, about 3 miles from Tiberias. Was she single? Was she married? Was she widowed? Did she have any family? Matthew and Luke actually tell us one thing about Mary. We are told that at some point in her life, Jesus removed from this woman 7-fold demonic presence from her life. We don't know where this happened. We don't know when it happened. We don't know how it happened. Nor do we know how this dreadful condition affected Mary. But one thing we can be pretty certain about, if she had 7 demons in her life, her life was a mess. Mary was not the sort of person that you would want as a neighbor. She would have been a neighbor from hell. She was a person that best avoided, unless, of course, you happen to be Jesus. He saw her, not just as she was, but as she could be, and he cleansed her and he healed her. And at that moment, Mary's life changed completely. She was a new creation. Paul says in his letter to Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And we sometimes sing, don't we? I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing. My love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand. I think Mary could have written those words. She was cleansed and healed and renewed. Jesus made her someone of worth. Jesus gave her purpose. Jesus gave her meaning in life. And she intended to spend the rest of her life serving Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that God's saving grace reaches anyone? And then tragedy struck. Jesus was arrested. And he faced a mockery of a trial. He was sentenced to die a horrific death by crucifixion. How do you think Mary felt? This was her savior. This was her Lord. And she could do absolutely nothing to help him. Little earlier in chapter 19 of John's Gospel, we read that near the cross, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary, the woman from Magdala, were there, near to the cross. That suggests to me that they were there from the very start. Mary was there as they drove in the nails. Mary was there as the religious leaders mocked Jesus. Mary was there as they fastened a notice above his head, King of the Jews. Mary heard all the words from the cross. Mary was there as they tossed a coin for his clothes. Mary was there as he cried, "It is finished." And I'm sure that Mary was there as they took him down from the cross. because she knew exactly where he was buried. As soon as Jewish law allowed it, Mary and some others went to the grave very early in the morning. First day of the week, somewhere between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. And horror of horrors, the stone had been moved. Was this the final humiliation for Jesus? Had the religious leaders come and objected to him being buried in a decent grave? Had there been grave robbers, not unknown at that time? What should she do? Broken-hearted, Mary took to her heels and she ran. She ran to find Jesus' closest friends, and she found Peter and John. And she said to them, "They've moved his body, and I don't know what they've done with him." And Peter and John looked at this distressed woman, and they ran to the tomb. John, probably the younger one, got there first. And he looked into the grave. Peter, who came a bit later, ran straight in. And I think Mary also followed them. But remember, she had run all the way to find them. So she might have been a bit later in getting back. They went in. And what did they see? Grave clothes. Just lying there. The headpiece, a little part. It's just as if his body had left all the trappings of death behind. This was not grave robbers. They wouldn't have done that. This wasn't the Jewish authorities. They wouldn't have done that. It tells us that John looked in and saw what happened, and he began to think about it. It says he believed. He didn't really fully understand. I think he was remembering things that Jesus had told him. And then we read that the two men went back home just to consider what they had seen. He didn't seem to have given much consideration to Mary, because she was left standing there, weeping outside the grave. Broken-hearted woman. Mary went back to the grave. She looked inside. She must have been totally exhausted, distraught with grief. She looked in and she saw two angels. And they spoke to her and said, "Why are you crying?" Strangely, Mary doesn't seem to have been surprised by this. She simply replied to their question. "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." This was one very broken-hearted lady whose only concern was to find the body of Jesus and give him a decent burial. And then she turned around and saw Jesus, but didn't recognize him. Again, the question. Jesus often asked questions that he perfectly well knew the answer to. "Who are you looking for? Why are you crying?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "If you've taken him, tell me what you've done with him. Tell me where he is, and I'll go and get him." What she was going to do with him, I don't know. But she certainly had some plan in her mind. And then Jesus spoke her name. Mary. That was it. That was it. Suddenly, a lady who was in the utmost despair was filled with complete and utter joy. What did she do? She fell at his feet She hugged him. She kissed him. She was the man she had watched die a horrific death. He was alive. He was walking. He was talking. And he looked fit and not wounded at all. Then Jesus spoke to her. What does he say? Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. I always thought that a very strange thing to say. Why did he say that? What on earth did he expect her to do? She had had a dreadful weekend. And now he was alive. Of course she was going to hug him. Of course she was going to kiss him. I remember asking somebody about this when I was, I think, in Sunday school. Why did Jesus say that to her? And they said to me, well, Jesus' body was different now. This was his resurrection body. He could walk and he could talk and he could eat and speak like any other body. But he was also a Jesus who could go through locked doors. And let's be straight about this. The stone was not removed from the tomb to let Jesus out. It was removed to let Peter and John and Mary in. So his body was different. It was different. But I don't think that's why Jesus said that to her. I don't think that's why he said, don't cling on to me. Do you know what else he said to her? Go and tell my disciples. No. Go and tell my followers. No. Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my brothers. You see, and Jesus was saying to Mary, I'm all right, Mary. I'm alive. I am not going to be dead again. I will be with you forevermore. I will never leave you again. There would come a time when, of course, he would ascend up to heaven, but he would be with Mary in a very special way, which at that time she probably didn't understand. But he was saying, I'm going to be with you for a while yet. I'm going to be here in bodily form. Don't hold on to me because I'm here. Go and tell my brothers there's work to be done. There's work to be done. Mary wanted to spend her life serving Jesus, so he gave her something to do. Go and tell my brothers. My brothers! These were men who, when Jesus needed their company most of all, fell asleep. These were men who, when Jesus was arrested, ran away. These are men who were ready to deny Jesus, and yet here he is. Go and tell my brothers. I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You see, what happened on the cross? Because Jesus died on a cross, the relationship between God and man was forever changed for those who put their trust in Jesus. God is the Father of every human being on this earth, be they saint or sinner. God is their Father because he is their Creator. But only in Jesus, only in Jesus does he become Abba, Father, Dad. only in Jesus. Only because of the cross and what happened on the cross does he become Abba Father. And because of Jesus, those who put their trust into his life can enter the presence of a holy, almighty God and call him Dad. He is not the Savior. He is not the God of those who do not know Jesus in that sense. Only in Jesus and only because of the cross do we know him as Abba Father. As Mary went and she spoke to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she took that message with them. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the first person to take that greatest of news, not only was Jesus alive, but what the resurrection meant, was a woman. Was a woman. A woman, just a woman from Magdala. Nobody of any importance, but a woman who had known for herself God's saving grace. And she took that message. She took that message to 11 very ordinary men, who in turn took the message to others, who in turn took the message to others, who in turn took the message to others, and it's still happening today. What does the Easter message teach us? God's saving grace knows no bounds. It's available to anyone, anyone who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Even people like Mary Magdala, a woman of no importance, and the thief on the cross. If we have known God's saving grace, then we have a responsibility to take that message to others. It's not a matter of rejoicing. We do rejoice in God's salvation. We do rejoice that he is our Savior. But there's a world out there that doesn't know that. There's a world out there that doesn't know that. And Jesus says, it's his commission to the church, go and tell others about Jesus. There's a world out there that doesn't know anything at all about Jesus, doesn't even know his name. There are people out there who are searching for meaning in life and they don't know that the answer is Jesus. There are some people who are aware, many people who are aware that Jesus, this man, this good man, died on a cross. But it was all right. God raised him to life again on the third day. Isn't that wonderful if that's true? But what has it got to do with me? What has the death of a man on a cross 2,000 years ago got to do with me? What happened on the cross? Who was that man on the cross? He was God himself. God himself who came down to this earth that we might know him as Abba Father. And it's our responsibility to make sure that other people know it too. Tell them about the cross. The resurrection will mean absolutely nothing if we don't tell them about the cross and what it means. We have to tell them that he is risen, exalted, and coming again one day to judge the living and the dead, when every knee will bow before him. And the question is, do we really know him? Do you know what Jesus did for you in Calvary? Do you realize the awfulness of sin and the price that Jesus paid? Why did God allow him to be crucified? Why? Because there was no other way. And because God loved us so much. So on this Easter day, let us rejoice in a living Savior. But don't keep it to yourself. Let us go out there and be Easter people. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Ruth. We've done us the power of good hearing all of that. And it's never easy when you're going to preach. The devil's at you. Oh, all sorts happen. So it's always a cost to it, as Wilma well knows. We thank you very much for your gift of preaching, isn't it? Give her a clap. I think she's great. Right. Now, I was late. I'm here to do prayers of intercession. But I want to start with this, because God so laid it on my heart this morning. And it's the Emmaus Road thing. It says, Jesus appears to two believers travelling on the road, but they don't recognise him. The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. Suddenly, Jesus himself came along and joined them and began walking beside them. But they didn't know who he was, because God kept them from recognizing him. You seem to be in deep discussion about something, he said. What are you so concerned about? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did wonderful miracles. He was a mighty teacher, highly regarded by both God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders arrested him and handed him over to be condemned to death. And they crucified him. We had thought he was the Messiah who'd come to rescue Israel. That all happened 3 days ago. I won't say the next bit, but I'll go on a few verses. And it says, then Jesus said to them, you are such foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his time of glory? Then Jesus quoted passages from the writing of Moses and all the prophets explaining what all the scriptures said about himself. Now, I've started with that because I think if we want to have any power as Christians, we have to know the scriptures. We have to read our Bibles, and the prayer will come out of that. So having said that, and it's rather ironic, isn't it? You're the only person that doesn't know what happened. He was the one who suffered on the cross. I just love the irony of that scripture. Let us now pray. Father, you know all things about every one of us. You know all the things that we are concerned about. You know all the things that we wish we could change about ourselves. You know all the hurts in our hearts. Lord, help us to be filled with your Spirit afresh this morning. Let us know your scripture and pray your scripture. Father God, I want to begin with our own members who are very poorly, some of them. I want to pray for Janet. Lord, I could weep. Having journeyed for many years with Carolyn Lake, Lord, with Emmy, I now see Janet 2 years on, still exhausted. Father, I cry out to you to heal her. in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray she will get better. Because you have the power, the dunamis, it's yours. But Father, help us as praying people in the church who know Janet, really pray powerful prayers that remove this, it must be from the devil, that is dragging her down and giving her no life at all, no energy whatsoever. So Father, give us the power to pray the devil out of Janet and your goodness and holiness and power into her. And Father, we think of Anne Fells too. We pray for her, Lord, that Father, you would travel with her in the remaining things that need to happen. We thank you for the medicine, the people, the physios, the doctors. But Lord, you have the healing power to journey with her through all that lies ahead. And we would like her restored completely too. And for those with aches and pains of all different kinds, backaches, knee problems, leg problems. Lord, you know everything that we are suffering with this morning. And I thank you for the many times when I feel a pain, I slap it and say, go away in Jesus' name. And it usually does. Father, we have the power to speak and make ourselves well, because the name of Jesus is the name above all things, all powers, all dominions. It is such a great name. There's power in it, Lord. Help us to use that power and be faithful followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died to give us that power. And we pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to fill us more and more every single day of our lives in what remains while we live on this earth. Help us to be faithful, effective evangelists, Lord. And so, Lord, we look on the world. We all know what the news is telling us, all the war places, all the sorrow and suffering. But, Lord, I just want us not to speak about it, but just have a time of quiet where we bring the things that are really grieving us in this world to you. I don't want us to sound the news items. Let us just have a time of quiet where we bring those burdens that we know about and the suffering in those places in the world. So be a time to do that now. Father, you must grieve about the many children that have died in wars and affliction, and the many, many families that are separated. But we are commanded in your word to pray for Israel, and we would bring before you the hostages and the situation. Find a way to let those hostages be freed. Father, be active. Lord, we remember the no one would have ever thought the Berlin Wall would come down, but it did. But there was a lot of prayer about that. So, Father, help us to get those hostages out. Lord, release them by your power, we pray. And, Father, we ask that we would just bring our family members who don't know you as we know you. Lord, we may have time with those family members today, sharing food or time together to relax and be families. Father, for everyone who does not know you, help us. Help us to speak and act in a way that honors you, Lord, and that brings them closer to Jesus. And Father, for those at work, help them to be witnesses in their workplace. And Father God, we pray we would be people full of hope as we consider the Easter story, Lord. It is all darkness, but then it all turns to light and glory and hope. Lord, give us that hope in our prayer life. Give us that hope that believes, because you tell us in your word, when we see it, when we have the faith to believe it, the job is done. And I always believed my mother would come to you. I prayed for 30 years for her, but Lord, I believed it would happen, and it did. And it was just astonishing. And so, Father, give us that faith that moves the mountains, that accomplishes great things for the honor and glory of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, Father, now we're going to have a time of open prayer for people to bring their particular concerns before you. You can pray out loud, or you can be praying quietly in your heart, whichever is your choice. Well, Father, I want to pray for our forthcoming services, that, Father, we would be drawing nearer and nearer and nearer to you. Every service we enjoy, we thank you for the freedom that allows us to have free worship and free speech in our island. And we pray for the governance of this island, of the many things to do with money and jobs and the health service. Lord, help them to make wise decisions. Amen. Amen. I want to finish with a prayer that was shared on Wednesday, and it was shared by the Dory sisters. I'm sure they worked together on it. But I asked for them to send me the words so we could share it together today. You can open your eyes now. It's called Hang It on the Cross. In other words, you give it to Jesus. You don't hang on to it yourself. If you have a secret sorrow, a burden or a loss, an aching need for healing, hang it on the cross. In fact, we could say that together, because it'll be after three lines. We'll say it together, please. Let's just say that line. Hang it on the cross. If worry steals your sleep and makes you turn and toss, if your heart is feeling heavy, hang it on the cross. Every obstacle to faith or doubt you come across, every prayer unanswered, hang it on the cross. For Christ has borne our brokenness and dearly paid the cost to turn our trials to triumph. Hang it on the cross. Lord, I want to thank you for the blessings of those prayers that the Dory sisters bring to us every Wednesday. And it's been a delight to watch how prayer has developed in our group. May we continue to make prayer a priority. Amen.
Thank you for taking part in today's service. Thank you, Ruth, so much for your powerful message to us today. And I'd just like to say a special thanks to Sheila, because she's been playing on her own today because Heather's not here. And also, I forgot to say at the beginning, thank you to the ladies who've decorated our window so beautifully for our special service today. There'll be tea and coffee served after the service, so you're all most welcome to join us in the hall for some refreshments and a time of fellowship. We're going to share the grace together in a moment, and then after that there'll be a video which I'll just explain a little bit. It's called Days of Heaven, and it's sung in three different languages, in English, Arabic and Hebrew, and it's set, as you'll see, in Jerusalem. Three worship leaders, an Arab, a Messianic Jew, and, well, they're both Messianic Jews, I think, the two. So it's just a beautiful vision of unity, I would say, united in their love of Jesus. So we share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.